Hello and welcome to Global Research Unlocked, where we discuss what's rising from growth industries and rising risks and opportunities in global markets. I'm TJ Thornton, head of product marketing at BofA Global Research, and we're recording this episode on Thursday, March 14, 2024. This week, BofA is hosting the Global Investor Summit in Rome, Italy. In attendance are corporate executives, prominent investors, policy experts, and members of BofA management, as well as the BofA Global Research Strategy team. Michael Hartnett, Chief Investment Strategist at BofA Global Research, presented at the event. He heard from other presenters and had a few interesting conversations along the way. Thanks, Michael, for joining us today from Rome. Note that I am in New York. I suppose I could have gone to Little Italy to commemorate this, but I'm here in Times Square. Michael, what should our podcast audience know from this special event? What are your key takeaways and things our audience should look out for?
Well, we're in Rome, we're in Europe. Obviously, there's a tremendous focus on Europe's position in the world. I think Europe often gets left behind in terms of market bullishness. There's a tremendous amount of market bullishness on the States at the moment. We know there's a tremendous amount of bullishness on Japan as well. Europe's not doing badly. The credit markets are fairly buoyant. You've also got the equity markets doing well, although again, in Europe, as in the US, is led by a select amount of stocks. But it's interesting being here and just hearing a much less bullish spin on the world in this region. And I think that's because Europe continues to grapple with dependency issues. It's been very dependent on Russia for its energy. It's been very dependent on China for its trade. And it's very dependent on the US for its security. And these geopolitical issues are a stumbling block for Europe. If you go back the past 100 years, TJ, there's been two decades in which Europe did incredibly well in equity market terms. The 1950s, where stocks in Europe tripled, the 1980s, when stocks in Europe doubled. And if you think about what happened in those decades, they were two decades of geopolitical peace. The end of World War II, the Marshall Plan kickstarted what happened in the 1950s. And of course, the fall of the Soviet Union, fall of the Berlin Wall was really what made Europe outperform in the 1980s. So I think that one of the things we're hearing here a lot is if we can get some greater geopolitical clarity, some greater geopolitical calm, there's going to be a lot more enthusiasm. And that enthusiasm is quite deserved when you think of what Europe is achieving in terms of energy transition, what it's achieving in terms of building a new defense industry, the leisure, the luxury sectors that it has. But it just has this shadow in terms of geopolitics, which really is hindering, if you like, for Europe to join the US and join Japan in terms of the bullish zeitgeist that exists today.
Michael, you mentioned this possibility of geopolitical peace, and certainly there are a lot of things that can go right, but there are also a lot of overhangs. There are a lot of risks, especially when we think about things like US elections or elections elsewhere in the world. How do you think about that statement around geopolitical peace combined with all these elections and risks?
Well, I think what's interesting, one of the things we heard from panelists today was that there are a lot of government objectives, and not just in terms of defense, but also in terms of energy transition, AI, and all these great topics that everyone's grappling with right now. But one of the worries clearly is there enough money for government to find solutions to these issues? I think that's something that both the US and Europe needs to work out. You're already running very, very large budget deficits in both continents. There is the existential worry that you're just not going to have enough money to pay for the solutions to these problems. That may end up working as a catalyst towards greater geopolitical calm. Because if you can't afford to fund wars, then at some point you're going to stop doing it. And I think that this is something that may offer some hope going forward, is that both electorates, but also governments are going to find it difficult to keep causing geopolitical events. What you do have to do is calm them down.
Michael, we'll just end with this. We've been very focused on this idea of breadth and whether market breadth could improve both within regions and then across the globe. Can regions outside of the US start to act better? It certainly started to happen, but a lot of our indicators have improved, and those indicators generally suggest that indeed breadth should get better, that cyclicals should start to perform even better. How does Europe factor into that idea of breadth and cyclicality?
It factors in brilliantly. Europe is a trading region. Its biggest markets, like the German market, the French market, very dependent on the global trade cycle, very dependent on China. If you have a global manufacturing upswing, you want to be overweight. These are mercantilist, cyclical markets, and they do very well when there's a global upturn. The two pushbacks you're going to get is, number one, it hasn't happened yet. You haven't seen this big broadening of the market because the market is consumed with one overriding theme of AI, and you can just play that all in the US. And even if you look at Europe itself, it has its own great healthcare companies or great semiconductor companies. It's got its own band of where a lot of the gains are being concentrated right now. That's one pushback. The second pushback, of course, is that a lot of the improvement in the global economy is not driven by China. It's not driven by Japan. It's driven by the US. And the US in particular has been very much driven by the labor market. And the labor market is now starting to show some signs of cracks. I think if the labor market can hang in there in the States, the fiscal spending can continue in the States, if China can improve a little bit more, then Europe definitely is going to get caught up with this wave higher in terms of people wanting cyclicality and wanting to play breadth regionally as well as within equity indices.
All right, Michael, thank you very much for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your time in Italy.
Thank you, TJ.
Bank of America and B of A Securities are the marketing names for the global banking businesses and global markets businesses, which includes B of A Global Research of Bank of America Corporation. Lending, derivatives, and other commercial banking activities are performed globally by banking affiliates of Bank of America Corporation, including Bank of America N.A., member FDIC. Securities, trading, research, strategic advisory, and other investment banking and markets activities are performed globally by affiliates of Bank of America Corporation, including in the United States, B of A Securities, Inc., a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC, and in other jurisdictions by locally registered entities. Copyright 2024 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.